Dominic Capity, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios today. The DraftKings Sports and Social on 2nd Avenue at Nashville Live. That's right. I have been to many a sports and socials in my life. I've been to many live districts, whether it's 4th Street Live in Louisville, Kentucky, whether it is the Power and Light District in Kansas City, whether it's Baltimore, live at the Battery in Atlanta outside the Braves ballpark. And this might be the sweetest, dopest, coolest live that I've been to. So again, that's DraftKings Sports and Social live out here at Nashville Live, raising the sports bar, the ultimate fan experience, your game day destination. And I mean, I am looking right at Nissan Stadium, like right here through the windows out here. We're in the DraftKings Lounge hanging out today. This place is freaking sweet. And again, Saturday, they've got the ultimate tailgate party. And the first 50 people today that show up for Thursday night football through the door will receive a gift from DraftKings. And then Saturday, they've got the ultimate tailgate party. And Sunday, the official Titans watch party. Titans game day hangout. Register to win a signed Derrick Henry jersey and tickets to an upcoming game. And so let's start on that upcoming game. TD will be with us here in an hour for the TD Power Hour. But I want to start on this, which is, everybody for some reason thinks, and I say everybody, maybe not everybody, but most people seem to think that when it comes to, you know, takes and opinions and games and, quite frankly, my feelings, that there's some kind of special agenda there. Somebody said to me the other day, they were like, you're setting Vrabel up for such blah, blah. I'm like, look, man, you're giving me way too much credit. Like, you are giving me way too much credit. My opinions on the show are not drawn out to, well, I'm setting this up so that if this happens, then I can say I was right, or I can brag about this, or I feel it. I say it. It's an open book. There's nothing special to it. Which takes me to Anthony Richardson, who the Titans will play on Sunday as the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. If you were listening to our draft special that night, you heard my heart break in 1 million pieces when the Indianapolis Colts selected Anthony Richardson with the 4th overall pick. If you listened to this program before the NFL draft, you heard me talk every day. Ian, how many months was it that I just gushed about Anthony Richardson every day?
Oh, it was a while.
I mean, it was like 2 or 3 months of Jared every day talking about how much he loves Anthony Richardson. And when the Indianapolis Colts drafted Anthony Richardson, the quarterback that I had ranked as the number one quarterback, and I would have drafted with the number one overall pick in this draft, my heart sunk. And I thought about all the games over the years in which you played the Indianapolis Colts and you had to deal with the fact that they had Andrew Luck and you didn't. They had Peyton Manning and you didn't. And now on Sunday, for the first time, you will get a look at Anthony Richardson. The good news about Anthony Richardson is he's not ready. I don't even think Anthony Richardson gives the Colts the best chance to win on Sunday. I think that's Gardner Minshew. If you roll the tape, the end of the Texans game when Richardson got hurt and the Ravens game that they won on the road, that was a miraculous fluke. But if you roll the tape, Minshew right now is the better passer than Anthony Richardson. But when I watch Anthony Richardson, I see Superman-like ability. The same Superman-like ability that I saw on the tape of him in college. And you all would say, well, they only scored X amount of points against Georgia, and he wasn't good against Vandy, and he wasn't. I'm like, he threw for like 400 yards in that Vanderbilt game. Florida lost all those games last year because Florida stinks. Have you watched Florida this year? They're awful. And what is crazy about Anthony Richardson is the way he looks. I knew there was going to be a large adjustment when he entered into the NFL. But he is further advanced than I thought he would be at this point. Every three throws, Anthony Richardson just throws a ball with such ease and just beautiful. Just, it's a rocket with a perfect spiral. I mean, it's the most beautiful ball. And it'll hit an Alec Pierce square in the numbers. It'll fall right into Michael Pittman's hands or Mo Alley Cox or all these guys that the Colts have that aren't all that good. And then he'll throw a ball 18 yards over somebody's head. Back to me. I hope I'm wrong about Anthony Richardson. I hope I'm wrong. Because if I'm not, the Tennessee Titans are in a world of trouble over the years. And the Tennessee Titans are absolutely in some trouble on Sunday against Anthony Richardson because Anthony Richardson's big play ability just happens to match up with the biggest problem the Titans defense has, which is sometimes, and this didn't happen on Sunday, I don't know if it was because the defense was focused, I don't know if it was because Joe Burrow had a bad calf, I don't know, but the Titans defense has this just terrible habit so far this season in three of the four games of sticking their heads up their tushes and giving up these huge, big, unbelievable plays. And Rashid Shaheed is fast and has talent for the New Orleans Saints. And those receivers for the Chargers are good players, especially Keenan Allen. And Amari Cooper's made a lot of big plays in his career, and Deshaun Watson is still slippery, even though he's not really a good quarterback anymore. He's still slippery. But guess what? They don't run the ball like this guy does. They don't have the speed that this guy does. They don't have the big play ability. And I mean, those are good players in the NFL. They don't have the ability that Anthony Richardson has. Anthony Richardson is a taller, stronger, faster, more mechanically sound version of Vince Young. And I have no idea about the kid, but everything I hear is great. So when it comes to Anthony Richardson, you guys want to sit there and talk about, you know, Jared, you want this to happen, or you want that to happen, or this would be a better headline for this, and this would be a better... And every time I hear somebody try to handicap my feelings, I'm like, I don't even think about my feelings like that. I want the Titans to win. I want the Predators to win. And, you know, I kind of just go from there. And then my opinions are based on what gives the Titans the best chance to win. And I said before the draft, I'd do whatever it takes to move up to draft Anthony Richardson. Because that talent, he may be the most talented player in the NFL on Sunday. When they played the Texans, they won that game in large part because Anthony Richardson had two Derrick Henry-like touchdowns in the first quarter. That, and for some reason, C.J. Stroud got to the red zone and then all of a sudden turned into a pumpkin. But boy, that Nico Collins, he's good too for Houston. He's playing right now better than I thought he would as a rookie. And I think he's got a coach who was part of that staff with the Eagles that made Jalen Hurts into a, is Jalen a backup to $50 million Jalen Hurts? And they run an offense that, quite frankly, is suited for what Richardson does well. He's going to run the ball. He's going to throw the ball to the tight ends. And eventually they'll probably go out and get somebody where he can throw the ball deep. And then you get really scared. But if Anthony Richardson develops, and he's already better right now than he was at Florida, if he continues to develop, because a lot of you guys were like, well, Jared, he was only a 50-something percent passer at Florida. I mean, come on, he's not going to be any good in the NFL. I'm like, Joe Burrow at age 22 had almost the exact stats at LSU that Anthony Richardson had at age 20 at Florida. He's 21 years old. This kid's special, man. I mean, I think you're going to see the game on Sunday. And even though I think right now Titans should win on Sunday, like the no bones about it, the Colts line stinks and they're injured. The Colts receivers are not very good. Their tight ends are generic. Their defense is soft. Jonathan Taylor hasn't taken a carry since December of last year. Like, you should win the game on Sunday. You lose the game on Sunday, it's your own fault. But you're going to walk out of that game, I think, and you're going to say, boy, that kid is special. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope for years, every time we get to the NFL draft, every March and April, every year you guys are like, well, you were the one that said that Anthony Richardson was going to be a star. I hope that's what happens. Because if not, Titan fans, you may be in for a lot of pain. And when you flip on the tape, that kid is special. Very special. I know. I liked Kenny Pickett before this year. But it's a different kind of like. With Kenny Pickett, I like the production in the preseason. With Anthony Richardson, it's the arm, it's the body, it's the athleticism, it's the raw speed. It's the fact that he can throw some of the most beautiful passes. And I hope that Anthony Richardson, for your sake and my sake, doesn't become the big nightmare that I'm worried he's going to be. Now, I was thinking about this. You know, if I was a general manager in the NFL, I would have invested my career in Anthony Richardson. Ian, would you say that's probably about fair? You know, going into the draft about how high I was on Anthony Richardson and how I was talking about the Titans need to get to 3 ahead of the Colts so they can take Anthony Richardson, even though the media believed the Colts were going to take Will Levis. And I knew the Colts weren't going to take Will Levis because why would they be telling ESPN every day how much they love Will Levis? If they didn't like Will, if they, you know, really liked him, why would they tell everybody? I mean, just like Kyle Shanahan going all in on Trey Lance, I wanted to go all in on Anthony Richardson. And I was like, should I take the same kind of approach that a general manager in the NFL would of, if this doesn't work, I'll get fired. If Anthony Richardson's a bust, Ian, should I resign my job?
Well, maybe not quite that far. I mean, none of the GMs don't resign. They get fired. So there's one. Too.
I know, but see, here's the thing.
They have much more info. They got more info.
Sure.
You know, it'd be one thing if you had all the info that the GMs do and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, let's be honest, we don't have that.
That is fair. But the one thing, like, I'm not going to vow to resign if Anthony Richardson doesn't make it because busts happen. Even though every single one of you, when it comes to Isaiah Wilson, thinks that, I mean, how could they possibly have busted on the 28th pick in the draft? It happens. But I guess when it comes to Richardson, like, I just believe in the talent so much that I would be willing to risk it all for this kind of talent. And, you know, it's, I guess what bothers me is that the football people always say, you know, it's easy to sit behind the microphone and say, I'd trade whatever it takes to go get Anthony Richardson, but are you going to live with the consequences if it doesn't work? Now, the difference is those guys make more money than me, and they've got longer guaranteed contracts than I do, which might make getting fired just maybe a little bit more palatable. But that's how much I believe, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. 615-737-1025. That's how we're starting today. 615-737-1025. The beginning of the Anthony Richardson versus Titans era of the Titans-Colts rivalry. 615-737-1025. And coming up next, there is one particular thing that I feel like the Indianapolis Colts absolutely, positively have to do. And the only hope that I have is that the Colts are so stupid that they won't do this. We'll get to that coming up next. We are live today at the grand opening of the DraftKings Sports and Social at Nashville Live, downtown on 2nd Avenue, raising the sports bar with the ultimate fan experience. And again, the first 50 people through the door today receive a gift from DraftKings. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We've seen some really strong play from Anthony Richardson, the rookie quarterback. Really fun to see in his three starts. What have you liked so far out of him?
Man, you grazed that one. I got to give you love in the draft. I got to give you love.
Look, go now.
And it kind of ties into what we said. Remember when we had that conversation about how your athleticism can buy you time?
Totally.
How you learning how to play the position. And when you look at Anthony play, a comfortability level comes because he can get out of trouble. Mm. Right? There was a couple times where Aaron Donald beat the edge or dunked underneath. And he was able to sidestep and either continue to play or go out and be an athlete. What I love, though, is that he's not indecisive. Yeah. And for a rookie quarterback, and that I'm not talking about getting the ball out of your hands. He is taking off when it's time to take off and just go get some yards. That understanding early in your career is a big deal. I love the way he's playing.
First of all, I love TV, right? Marcus Spears sitting there like, hey, Dan Orlovsky, I got to give it to you. You were on that one at the draft. It's been 2.15 games for Anthony Richardson. A little early, folks. Like, even for me, who, again, I already know. If Anthony Richardson makes it, every time around the draft, I'll be the one to tell you all, whenever you guys don't like somebody I like, that, hey, I told you guys about Anthony Richardson, and if Anthony Richardson doesn't make it, then you guys will always tell me around draft time that you were the one who loved Anthony Richardson. So I already know that. Now, here's the problem with the Colts. And this is why, if I were the Colts, I would have drafted Anthony Richardson, and I would have set the expectations for Jonathan Taylor real early about, like, dude, we ain't doing a contract. Like, I would have said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hand you the ball 28 times a game. And if you turn into Derrick Henry and you win the rushing title again, then you will get franchise tagged. And then, after that, you will become a free agent, and maybe you'll go get paid. But I'd have told him that straight up. But I also said at the time, I talked to a former NFL coach about this. I said, if I'm the Colts, I said that I would have, you know, worked out a smaller deal with Matt Ryan, but Gardner Minshew's perfect for this. Sign Gardner Minshew and make him the starting quarterback. He knows that Eagles Shane Steichen offense. Then I would have drafted Richardson, and I would have said Anthony Richardson will be sitting on the bench. I would have signed Dalton Schultz, the tight end from the Cowboys, or Mike Gesicki, the tight end from Miami, who's now with the Patriots. Schultz is with the Texans. I would have signed one of those two guys, and then I would have been thinking receiver. Now, they drafted Josh Downs from North Carolina, who's okay. But if the Indianapolis Colts go out this offseason and they get Anthony Richardson and A.J. Brown, you're screwed. And if I'm the Colts, like, that is the number one priority for my team. And it's so funny when I listen to you guys talk about tanking, and it's like, you know, Jared, our offensive line's not very good. We should tank. I'm like, they're not tanking with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and Jeffrey Simmons and Kevin Byard, and they're 2-2 in a bad division. They're not tanking. But the Indianapolis Colts, and they're not tanking either, but the Indianapolis Colts' priority is not winning right now. The Titans' priority is to win games right now. Indy's priority is to set Anthony Richardson up to have the best career possible. And that would be by getting him an A.J. Brown-type receiver. And when I talk about an A.J. Brown-type receiver, I'm not saying, you know, it has to be A.J., but it has to have the effect that adding A.J. had for Jalen Hurts. And it has to have the talent level of A.J. See, the thing about A.J. Brown is that he's so big and so strong. He's fast. He's not a blazer, but he's fast enough, and he's so big and he's so strong that a quarterback like Richardson can just throw the ball deep down the field and go expect a guy like A.J. to go up and make a play. The other kind of guy that they could get for Anthony Richardson that would help him would be a Tyreek Hill-type receiver, the absolute burner. That, again, I don't even know if Anthony Richardson can outthrow Tyreek Hill. And there may be guys like that on the market. I think it's pretty obvious. Davante Adams is unhappy with the Raiders. Now, would Davante Adams want to go to the Colts? I don't know. Would Davante Adams be worth it, knowing that Devontae's prime is probably for another year or two? And with Anthony Richardson, you're looking at, you know, the next 10 years, 15 years, whatever it may be. At least that's the hope if you're the Colts when you draft the guy 4 overall. Justin Jefferson with Minnesota did not get the contract that he wanted before the start of the season. And Justin Jefferson didn't make a big deal about that. But I could see, again, if he wants money, gets mad at Minnesota. I mean, we saw how that played out with AJ. But if I'm the Colts, I'm talking to Jim Irsay. And it's hard because you really have to almost kind of keep things like this even a secret from him. Because you do, and then all of a sudden he'll get out there and say, well, I mean, we're just so happy with what Anthony's doing. And if we could just get him, you know, that missing wide receiver piece that can come in here and be like Marvin was for Peyton, then, you know, we're going to be right off. But that we'd be sitting there saying, we've got, like, it's going to cost something. Like, it's going to cost, you know, some serious cash. And we're going to end up trying to trade for Justin Jefferson. And it's going to cost first round picks, and it's going. But that's what you have to do for Anthony Richardson, because these guys he's got now, Pittman and Pierce and Downs, like they're not good enough. They're not good. They're not as good as your wide receiving core. Like I would take Hopkins, Burks, Westbrook, and Moore over Indy's wide receiving core, and that's saying something because I don't think a lot of the Titans' wide receivers. C.J. Stroud has his guy. And Nico Collins, who is balling right now for the Texans. But that's what they do. They got to get that guy. Now, Derek Mason just texted me and said, Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think they're going to be bad enough to get Marvin Harrison Jr., though I do think the Colts are not going to be good this year. I'm thinking more like Malik Nabers at LSU or Keon Coleman at Florida State. And those guys are dogs. And, you know, Coleman, he's big and fast, kind of like A.J., and Nabers, I don't know if you guys have watched LSU. They can't play a lick of defense. But Malik Nabers is that dude. Like, he is. But that's what they got to get him. And I don't think that that should be a surprise. I mean, I remember when David Carr was drafted first overall by the Texans. They were terrible. The next year, they drafted him Andre Johnson. This is the – they've got to get that guy for him. And if they get that guy for him – now, there are plenty of guys – they get drafted number two overall and never make it as wide receivers in the NFL. But let's just say that they end up drafting the next Calvin Johnson this year for him. Oh, you're in trouble. Oh, you are in some serious the way. Because what will happen is with Richardson, as he's learning, you know, defenses and learning his own offense and learning, it's like, hey, Anthony, look for your first read. If it's not there, you can run around. If you don't feel comfortable running it, just throw it as far as you can in the direction of Justin Jefferson. And then he'll make a play on it. What would really be fascinating is if you can't get a guy like Adams or Jefferson and you win too many games to that you're picking, you know, 13th in the draft, so maybe you don't, you know, have a shot at a Marvin Harrison and you're Indianapolis, would you trade for a T. Higgins? You know, T, he's not a number one guy, but he's big, and, you know, he's got some, like, that's kind of the conundrum that I could see Indianapolis running into. But they got to get him a guy, and if they get him a guy, woo, you're going to be in some trouble. 615-737-1025. Ian, who's screwing around with the text line? Is that you?
No.
I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the text line, and now they're all red. I'm like, well, I knew where I was. It was like holding my place in a book. And someone's screwing around with the text. That's probably Joe. 615-737-1025 here on the program. We will get into some of your phones. Plus, coming up, Jonathan Taylor's probably going to play on Sunday. And I do not care. I'll explain why. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. Again, we are live today at the grand opening of the DraftKings Sports and Social. Raising the sports bar out here, 2nd Avenue at Nashville Live. Come on out and get the first 50 people that come through the door for Thursday Night Football tonight. Get a free gift courtesy of DraftKings. Also, we're going to be giving away Preds tickets later today, so be excited for that. And be sure to tune in to 94.9 The Fan this Saturday at 2:30 for our college football game of the week as Alabama takes on Texas A&M presented by Twin Peaks. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks for scenic views of all the hottest football action across the country and home of 29-degree beer. And be sure to make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 6 of college football and week 5 of the NFL. And Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Is it tougher to prepare for the possibility of Jonathan Taylor not having seen him in that specific offense yet, or is he somebody who you kind of know what you're going to get if he plays?
I would say that most of the runs that Jonathan Taylor will have, you know, for the most part, I don't think are going to change, you know, the quarterback's role, right? So we've seen him run outside zone, seen him run inside zone, seen him run, you know, gap scheme, seen him run inside zone from the gun, outside zone. Like, he's good, he's fast, he's tough to tackle. So whatever the quarterback does after that, if he pulls it, you know, that's on somebody else. But yeah, it's a good, very good player, excellent player. So we've seen all those runs that he probably would be doing.
And with Moss, I mean, does that add another piece to that puzzle?
Runs hard. You know, he runs really hard, and you know, it's been a good addition for him. He's, you know, strong runner.
So Jonathan Taylor's going to play on Sunday for the Colts. Jonathan Taylor was a full practice participant yesterday. I assume he was a full practice participant today. He had a press conference today, which we will get to, by the way, in a second, because there's something about that press conference that just freaking set me off. But different story for a different day. But, or I guess a different story for today. But I, right now, I keep hearing that, you know, what about if Jonathan Taylor comes back? Jonathan Taylor, Jonathan Taylor, Jonathan Taylor. And let me say this. I don't care. The Titans have the best run defense in the NFL. And when I say they have the best run defense, they are number one in yards per attempt. So if you try to run the ball on the Titans, you are, by yards per carry, probably going to get the least amount. The Indianapolis Colts offensive line sucks. And not only does it stink, and a guy like Quentin Nelson, who's getting paid $1 trillion, he's not that good anymore. Not only is the Colts line not very good, but they've also got like two or three guys in concussion protocol that might not play on Sunday against the Titans. But secondly, I mean, they pay DeNico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons and Tyre Tart, and they pay those guys all that money to stop the run. They don't need to commit extra guys to the run. And I've always said this when it comes to, you know, worrying about stopping the run lately when the Titans have been playing all these backup running backs. And I've said, I don't even get worried about it when it's a good running back. I mean, I don't get worried about it when it's Joe Mixon last week. I said at the time, I don't get worried about Josh Jacobs. I don't get worried about Jonathan Taylor. So I'm not going to start now. Now, there is a part about the running offense of the Colts that I am scared to death of. And I think Vrabel feels the same way I do, because on his coach's TV show, one of his keys to the game was stopping the run of the Colts from the quarterback.
For real, he's big, he's fast, he's strong with the football in his hand. I mean, they use him all over the field. And it's not all that. It's not all quarterback run, but it's certainly a large part of what they do. We'll have to be ready for it. We'll have to force him laterally, and we're going to have to get guys to the football. And then when he's dropping back to throw, if he likes the favorable look of the secondary and our rush lanes aren't sound, you know, he'll take off. So he's making yards in a hurry.
Okay, so he's worried about the quarterback. And I'm worried about the quarterback running the ball on Sunday. Like, I mean, I keep thinking in my head, like, let's say the Titans decide to spy Anthony Richardson, which they probably should. I mean, Aziz is probably the most likely guy, but Aziz is probably not big enough for Anthony Richardson. None of the DBs are big enough. None of the D linemen are fast enough, except maybe Arden Key, and I need him to rush the passer. I mean, I was thinking about that today. Monty Rice might actually get to play in this game because he can run. Like, you'd be saying to Monty Rice, and I don't know what his problem is, why he can never get on the field, but it's like, Monty, come here. When number five has the ball, you follow number five, and you make sure that he doesn't break a big one, and that's your only job. I could see that. But Jonathan Taylor? I'm not worried about Jonathan Taylor. When is Jonathan Taylor ever in this, you know, three-year span of his career? When has Jonathan Taylor ever been a problem for the Titans? Now, I know he had COVID that one game that the Titans went to Indianapolis and just absolutely railroaded them when Buckner and Autry and Taylor all had COVID. So I guess that doesn't count. And then there was the one game where he was averaging 7 yards a crack against the Titans, and they threw it like 40 times and gave him the ball like 6 times. But Jonathan Taylor's never been somebody that has struck fear into the Titans. So why would he do that now? So I'm not worried about Jonathan Taylor. 615-737-1025. Your phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, I am not falling for the be terrified of the Colts' scare tactics. Their defense sucks. Pittman is a glorified Corey Davis. And if the Titans are actually a decent run team that is disciplined, they will handle Richardson fine. If the Titans are, then they stink, and we will know it. I actually agree with the text. I do not think that the Tennessee Titans should lose on Sunday. And if the Titans lose on Sunday, I think it's their own fault. Now, he said it's the, you know, be scared of the Colts tactics. I'm not scared of the Colts this year. I'm scared of the Colts for the next 10 years with Anthony Richardson as their quarterback. And like I said, I hope I'm wrong about that. I don't think I will be, but I hope I'm wrong. But, I mean, I want us to all be in complete agreement here when it comes to the Titans that even though you're right, Pittman's not that good. I heard Derek today talking about how, you know, Pittman is a darn good receiver. And I was like, I texted him. I said, no, Pittman is not. He's like a number three who's never taken another step forward. Pierce, nah, they are not good at receiver. Their defense is soft. You should be able to run the ball right up the tush. Like, that should be easy for you. You should win on Sunday. Guys, we're all friends here. How many times have the Titans gone into a game where they should win it and they don't win it? How many times do the Titans screw around and find out the hard way just exactly how unforgiving this league can be? You've experienced it. I've experienced it. You know, years ago, Floyd once told me that guys like him and Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, that they never took games for granted. And he said to me, he goes, because Nick and Bill and I have been around long enough to where we've lost a bunch of those games. So we don't ever take them for granted. And I'm going to tell you this right now. I'll tell you this right now. That I've seen too many times where the Titans have had games like this where they should win. They should win. And then they don't. Chris in Lewisburg says, Jared, you know that Vrabel wanted C.J. Stroud. Well, yeah. That probably because Diana Russini told everybody. But you know what? If C.J. Stroud makes it, and Stroud is off to a good start. Now, I think they're doing a great job protecting him and working him in there. I think Bobby Slowick, their offensive coordinator, is doing a good job. And Nico Collins, that wide receiver, I mean, he is a really good player for the Texans. But if C.J. Stroud makes it, the narrative is already out there. Like, the narrative and everything else is going to be that the Titans wanted him and they tried to move heaven and earth, but they couldn't get him because the Texans took him. But the reality is that the Titans screwed it up. Like, the Titans screwed it up by telling everybody one way or another, I'm still not sold on Stroud. We'll see. Texter says, Richardson is a new Cam Newton. He can run effectively and has a big arm. He'll wear down, and he is extremely inaccurate, and the Colts don't have the Panthers' defense and won't for some time. I do not think that Anthony Richardson is Cam Newton. Now, I do see some Cam Newton, but when I watch Anthony Richardson play, I see some Cam Newton. I see some Josh Allen. I see some Mariota with the ease that he throws the ball in the seam the way that Mariota did. I see some Derrick Henry in the size and the speed, and once he gets out there in space and he gets going, I see some Derrick Henry. I see some Jalen Hurts. I see a lot. You know, I see a lot of that. You know, he's got the mix of a lot of good things. You know, I think it was somebody, some scout said, think of Michael Vick with Brett Favre's arm. And I'm not sure I see that when I watch, but I mean, Richardson, the way he throws the ball, he is just so special. Mark in Ashland City says, Anthony Richardson has the ability to be special. I'm a Florida fan. I wanted him to succeed, but he could never put it together. I don't know why he couldn't. I don't have faith he'll ever be more than almost incredible forever. Well, I think the reason that he couldn't put it together, Mark, that what I'm going to bet on, is because he was 20 years old. Because he played for a doofus coach. By the way, how's Florida doing now? They were 6-6 last year with Richardson. He didn't play in the bowl game. They got beat a zillion to nothing by Oregon State, who can't even find a conference. They get smoked by Utah. Everybody starts to think that they might be okay because they beat UT. And then they get hammered by Kentucky, who just runs the ball up the middle every play for 13 yards.
Imagine going from Richardson to this guy, Graham Mertz.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. I mean, he was 20 years old, folks. Crazy. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. Again, we are live at the grand opening of the DraftKings Sports and Social, Raising the Sports Bar, 2nd Avenue here at Nashville Live. Boy, we got to talk about this Jonathan Taylor press conference today. There was one thing that I heard about this press conference that I just couldn't believe. And the backtracking is hysterical. And this is another reason why I'm not worried about Jonathan Taylor. We'll get to that next. Hey, tune in for the Vandy football game this Saturday right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. The Commodores kick off at 3 o'clock on the road against Florida. Pre-game starts at 1:30. Coverage is also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com.
Jonathan Taylor's back in the building. Ooh. Speaking to the media this morning. No live stream of it.
Very interesting.
Why is that?
No live stream. Nobody was allowed to record either, I don't think, although we got videos coming out from him answering different things. I wonder if all parties were wondering how that whole thing was going to go. We don't need to stream it to get it maybe blipped and cut out and see how people take it, because this is an important press conference for Jonathan Taylor, because the last time we heard him talk, he hated Indianapolis Colts.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
He was not happy about how he was getting paid. Right. He wanted to get out of there. His agent was talking to Jim Irsay, who's the owner of the Colts. The owner of the Colts, Jim Irsay, was talking back to the agent and to the running back community as a whole. It was ugly. He's there today, and he said, I don't need to promise whether or not I took the trade request off the board. I'm proving I'm committed because I'm here. He decided to take it to the health way, and the goal was to get healthy and everything. So then they obviously asked a follow-up, and he said, I don't have to say one way or the other. If I'm here, if I wasn't committed, I wouldn't be here. And it's like, well, I think you kind of have to be, actually, because you might lose some money, because they didn't have you on PUP anymore, and they could have activated your entire thing. So we don't know if it's been concluded. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We do know Jonathan Taylor is back in the Indianapolis Colts building.
There you go. That was McAfee today. And I mean, I heard that, the very beginning part of that McAfee cut. I mean, I was listening, and they were like, Jonathan Taylor had a press conference today, which the whole Jonathan Taylor thing has been screwed up from the beginning, right? Like, all the running backs that are free agents that get franchise tagged are mad that they're not getting new contracts. Then the guy who has a contract is mad that he's not getting a new contract. Then he threatens a holdout. When he can't hold out, then he holds in. Then the Colts threaten to put him on non-football injury, and that becomes a whole nother fakakta thing, and the owner can't shut his mouth. And so all that was all screwed up to begin with. But even this morning, I'm listening to Robbie and Rex Road, and they had the Colts writer who from The Athletic who was on that was like, yeah, they're not saying Jonathan Taylor's going to play this week. The coach said that Jonathan Taylor is just happy to be around his teammates, or that they're happy to have him around the teammates, and that they're not committing to whether or not he's going to play. And then I hear the beginning of that McAfee cut. Ian, if you could, get that McAfee cut for me just for one more second. Just listen to the beginning of this, and tell me if this is not just freaking wild for an NFL team.
Jonathan Taylor's back in the building. Ooh. Speaking to the media this morning. No live stream of it.
Very interesting.
Why is that?
No live stream. Nobody was allowed to record either, I don't think, although we got videos coming out from him.
No live stream and nobody's allowed to record it? What? This is the NFL. This isn't some rinky-dink college in some Nowheresville, USA. This is not high school football where the high school coach is, well, yeah, you know, that no good radio guy coming around or newspapers coming in. This is the NFL. and they're not live streaming Jonathan Taylor's press conference in 2023. And so I don't know who's the weenie in all of this. Like, I don't know. Is Jonathan Taylor a weenie? And that's why the Colts PR staff was like, oh, no, no, no. Let's not live stream this, because if Jonathan Taylor sticks his foot in his mouth, it's going to be a whole nother freaking, you know, debacle that we're going to have to deal with. Or is it the Colts that are a bunch of weenies? And I couldn't tell you. But my goodness, if the Titans did something like that, like, it drives me crazy that on Fridays, Vrabel meets with the media. Ian, do the Titans live stream the Friday press conference?
Not usually.
Okay, so it drives me crazy that Mike Vrabel talks on Monday, and on Monday, he talks, you know, press conference. It's live streamed in front of the backdrop with the microphone. Fine. Wednesday, he talks press conference with the backdrop at the podium in front of the microphone. Good. Friday, Vrabel just stands at the side of the practice field and mumbles. And there, can you not walk 10 feet over to the podium, Mike? Like, is it really that hard? And that does matter, because the quality of the audio is much different. But I'm sure Vrabel has his reason for that. But that's different than, hey, we're not live streaming it. We're not recording it. It's Jonathan Taylor. It's like the biggest story drama that you've got with your team. Ugh. What a weenie move by the Indianapolis Colts. And this Taylor thing. You know, again, that Taylor's going to have the press conference and say, well, you know, I wasn't injured, or I was injured, and, you know, the story is all screwed up. And it's like, I mean, it's so wild to me how this has gotten so just bent out of shape, taken out of context. Like, I shouldn't say it's gotten taken out of context. I think the context is fine. But the fact that everybody has had to be stupid for this thing to get to the point that it is now. Taylor's been stupid. His agent's been stupid. Ursay's been stupid. Like, the whole thing. I mean, it's crazy to me, right? It's like, for instance, right now, mortgage rates have gone up in the United States. So if you bought a house 3 years ago, you're probably paying about 2.5% to 3% interest on your mortgage. You try to buy a house right now, you're looking at about 7.5%, maybe, you know, trending upwards towards 8%. So there's going to be a lot of people that don't move. And when it's like, man, why don't you move? I got a 2% mortgage. Like, that's why. Well, so when Jonathan Taylor's sitting there looking at the Colts, and he's like, why am I not getting a contract when Shaq Leonard's getting a contract and Quentin Nelson's getting a contract and this one's getting a contract and that one's getting a contract? It's like, because you have the position where the value is going down. So it wouldn't make any sense for us to pay you the market rate right now when the market rate a year from now might be lower. And then Taylor gets mad about it. And when somebody gets mad at their team, they don't want to play. And then you have to ask yourself, what's the going rate for an injured running back who throws a fit because they don't understand the CBA? So the whole thing's all kinds of screwed up. Just wild. Texter into the text line, Justin in Greenbrier says, Jared, if the Colts defense is that soft on the run, then the Titans need to use the same game plan they used on the first drive in the second half against the Bengals. Well, the Colts defense is also kind of soft against the pass. Here's the thing about the Colts. And Gus Bradley is their defensive coordinator. So, you know, Shane Steichen comes in, and he's doing that thing where a lot of these guru coaches come in as, like, the offensive coach, and they have the play sheet and call the plays and run the offense, and then they just hire some defensive guy to run that side of the ball. They, you know, they just farm it out is really what they do. And so they've kept Gus Bradley and that defensive staff. And so what they do is they let you complete passes. They let you run the ball. They let you do those things. And then they try to lock you down inside the red zone. They try to keep you out of the red zone. This is not the Cleveland Browns defense that you're going to be playing on Sunday. I think Tannehill should complete a lot of passes on Sunday. Now, the big thing about the Colts, and this is why even though their defense is not ranked highly and their rushing defense is not ranked highly, they give up less points than they do yards in terms of, like, you know, where they rank in the NFL. It's because What the Colts are constantly trying to do is keep you from getting the big play. Like, I would be shocked if Derrick Henry breaks a 65-yarder this week because the Colts' defense does not allow for that to happen. But if you told me that Derrick Henry was running the ball like he did early against the Saints, where it was Derrick for 5, Derrick for 6, Derrick for 4, Derrick for 6, Derrick for 2, Derrick for 7, Derrick for 13, Derrick for 4, that would not surprise me because of how the Colts play. And you're probably not going to be able to hit those big shots to Chris Moore down the field because they'll probably protect against that, but Tannehill will probably be able to throw the ball underneath to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So I'm just telling you, I don't think the Colts are very good. I think the way, the style with which they play, where they run the football, they try not to turn it over, and they stay out of the big play is why they're not going to get blown out a lot. But they're going to have to win games like the Ravens game, where at one point the Ravens were up 7-0 with 198 total yards compared to Indy's 5. And Indy just, you know, facing a blitz, Gardner Minshew just throws this beautiful, you know, just off his back foot, got to get it out, touchdown passes in the end zone. And, like, everything had to go right for the Colts in order for them to beat the Ravens. Their kicker, who's probably an average kicker, had to make, like, 4 kicks from plus 50. They got away with a pass interference on 4th down at the end of the game. I mean, everything had to go right for them in that one. And so, like, if you go around and you screw around against the Colts on Sunday, you'll probably lose. And if you go there and you play the way you should play, Ian, what do we call it?
Titan ball.
They go there, they play Titan ball on Sunday. I'll never forget the first time I did that. That was before a Colts game, by the way, in 2018. But if they go there and play Titan ball, they should probably win the game. TD's here. We will get his thoughts. So last week we had to have TD sit down with us for a state of the Titans because things were going so bad. Then they won 27-3. So what is the state of the Titans now? One step backward, one step forward. One step backward, one step forward. Colts on Sunday, TD's next. We are live again today at the DraftKings Sports and Social where they are raising the sports bar, 2nd Avenue here at Nashville Live. And be sure to join Robbie Stanley, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30 for the award-winning pregame show, where they'll break down the Titans and the Colts. And the pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed.